Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And joining us, of course, right now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, our green and gold analyst, Paul Lemming. Paul, how you doing? And is this show ever going to come back? Talking about Better Call Saul?
I've been wondering the same thing. I feel like I've been having withdrawal symptoms.
I'm right there with you, man. This is one of my favorites on TV, and I am one of those geeks who will tell anybody and everybody how great Breaking Bad is. This is tough, man. Like, I guess they're keeping my interest up, but I don't know, maybe 2020 we can expect a third season or fourth season or whatever they're on right now. It's awesome.
I got my Stranger Things fix recently, but now it's time for the Better Call Saul fix.
Nice. I just started, so we'll see where that ultimately takes us. Paul, get into the Packers here. What's that?
No spoilers.
Oh, yes, please. Thank you.
yeah.
I've got a few questions, but I'm gonna hold back there. As the Packers go, we're nearing training camp, and I know what the public rhetoric is going to be, and I know what a certain segment of fans are going to say, and I get it. The goal is the Super Bowl. That's what they say every year when you're talking about the Green Bay Packers. But if we're strictly thinking about this from a practical standpoint, you have some roster turnover. Granted, some of it was good. You made some additions in free agency and, of course, the draft. But you have a new head coach, a new offensive scheme. Paul, how realistic is that expectation in 2019?
Well, there's never been, for sure in the last decade, I don't think, as many sort of big picture what ifs, or not what ifs, but ifs. Like, well, if this happens and that happens, but if this happens, there's always several, you know, that are maybe medium to lower scale if questions. Like, you know, yeah, I mean, if Kyler Fackrell takes a big step forward, like, those are like more minor things, right? Like, if Aaron Jones stays healthy, like, don't get me wrong, those are important ifs, but like, this is the year of major, major if questions where, you know, Rodgers is coming off of two seasons that, between injuries and lesser performance, have put maybe had people question, like, is this just sort of what Rodgers is now? Or can he recapture, you know, the pre-2018 or pre-2017 Aaron Rodgers style of play? How does that work with Matt LaFleur? It's a brand new offense. And is there going to be a tug of war in terms of, you know, who's really running things at the line of scrimmage and how many checks happen? There's just, you know, can the Packers actually have a top 10 defense? Bill and I talked recently about an NFL.com article that had echoed what I had been kind of telling Bill, which is I think that the offense this year might be better, or excuse me, that the defense for the Packers this year might be the piece of the team that carries them, which is the first time that that would then be true since they did win the Super Bowl in 2010 when the defense led the league in sacks and Dom Capers was on top of the defensive world and all these other things, and, you know, how quickly things can change in the course of 9 years. So, you know, Marcus, I might, and I've probably been more optimistic than Bill. Sounds like I'll probably be more optimistic than you in this case. I think if you have Aaron Rodgers, and again, I'm basing it on an assumption that the last two seasons of Rodgers is not Rodgers going forward. If it is, my expectations for this team change drastically, not just this year, right, but for the next 5 years. But if he can recapture what we, I think, remember of Aaron Rodgers, which was like the previous 8 years, the previous eight seasons prior to 2017, I think you kind of have like a cheat code that kind of puts you, you know, two levels ahead in the game of what, you know, 70% of the league has to start with because you just have that guy at quarterback. So, but I think what it is I think like the ceiling and the floor of the 2019 Packers is much wider than it has been in recent past. Could I see him going 7-9? Sure. Could I see him going 11-5? Absolutely. And that has not been true in recent years, where I think there was more predictability, more stability. And so this is a very much a wild, unpredictable, like, how many big of the if questions turn out to be positive, how many of those happen to be negative, that's going to swing this thing in a major way.
Yeah, I think you summed it up perfectly with the number of what ifs, because I'm with you. I don't know what to expect, and that's why I phrased the question that way. How realistic are the expectations? Because frankly, nothing would really surprise me. Yeah, I'd be shocked if they came out and fell flat on their face. I don't anticipate that to happen. But at the same point in time, I don't think that it's a given you win 11 games and run to the Super Bowl either. And I am 100% on board with you on this. And I was going to ask you about it. A lot of people seem to think the offense is going to carry the team. But look, you have Mike Pettine here, so if there's any continuity with this team, it's on the defensive side. I would expect that that unit will be much improved, especially given that you added through free agency, you added through the draft, the personnel seems improved, and now you have that added value of a lot of guys knowing the system. Paul, I mean, it's tough to put a number on it before we even get to training camp, but in terms of, you know, top 15, top 10, how good do you think they might potentially be?
Yeah, I mean, and again, there's many categories you can judge a defense on statistically. If they're not top 15 in several of the major important stat categories, I think something went terribly wrong. Top 12, top 10 to me is a very realistic conversation we should be having. And I don't think, you know, that that's some sort of green and gold Kool-Aid goggles wearing thing. It's like, you know, national writers are starting to buy into the fact that, again, pre-training camp, right? So many things can change, but that this is a team that might be carried by its defense. And I think one of the things I always have to remind myself is, like, we as people who have lived here and been around the Packers and followed this team and, you know, on a snap-to-snap, practice-to-practice basis, we have a lot of baggage, you know? And I mean that both positively and negatively in the sense that we have too much information. Like, if I was to tell Jets fan, hey, Jets fan, you have a top 12 defense this year, and you have Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams, and David Bakhtiari. So you have a historically great quarterback, the statistically, by Pro Football Focus measures, best left tackle in football, and a top three, top five wide receiver. By the way, you also have a top 12 defense. Jets fan, and I'm just using it as an example, like would be like, oh my God, like sign me up for that. How do I get that?
Yeah.
And yet here locally, I think we look at the team and we're like, I don't know. You know, maybe 8-8. And it's like, I think if you were to transplant fan bases, and we wouldn't come with all of our baggage that we have of the recent losing seasons and all of this tug of war, is Rodgers and LaFleur going to get along, which are all super valid questions. There's a basis here. There's a foundation for a super successful season. It just will end up probably coming down to, do those things actually click? But I think from a talent perspective, if I look at this roster on paper, I think defensively it's the best roster they've had since Charles Woodson went away. Like, you know, since the 2010, 2011 type seasons, I think they're stacked defensively. Now, do they need some young guys to step up? Does Jair Alexander need to be the all-pro that he says he's going to be? Probably. Does Kenny Clark need to kind of, you know, maybe become the permanent Aaron Donald light? Maybe. Maybe these things all do need to happen. But I think those guys have that capability. And, you know, again, take away the whole, like, local angle of it and us being close to the team, the national perspective is starting to tilt that way, that this might be a team dominated that's going to win games on some Sundays because their defense carried them to it.
I think that would be refreshing for a lot of Packer fans, frankly.
Oh, yeah.
Not to say that you want to see offense. I get that. But, boy, to think that you could win on that side of the ball is crazy. You know what else is crazy? To think, and I you're right on this, to think that the Green Bay Packers could be under a greater microscope than any team from New York, which is kind of true in that sense with all of the information that's out there. He is Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst. A couple more as we wind down, Paul. Camp, as I said, is coming up. What are you looking for? I know that's generic, but what's the biggest thing top of mind for you as we get prepared for this that maybe we'll get answered over the course of those 3 to 4 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I can give you specifics. I'm always like a puzzle piece putter together person. Like, I want to see the way that Pettine takes all of these new pieces. I mean, that you combine not only the fact that three highly paid free agents are now on this team with the Smiths and then Adrian Amos, two first round draft picks, and, you know, I think Rashawn Gary is being lost a little bit in this whole thing because Davante Adams, among others, are singing such crazy high praise for Darnell Savage. I mean, you take five new highly paid, but, you know, major assets, that you two first-round picks and three big free-agent money contracts, and add that into a defense that had a Kenny Clark, a Mike Daniels, a Jair Alexander, you know, pieces that a lot of teams would love to have some of these players. I'm curious to see how it all kind of gets put together. Like, of course, you know, I just don't think, you know, the biggest thing that's going to probably steer this team is, like, you know, the Rodgers and LaFleur thing, and that's going to be story one. Like, when the broadcast begins on Thursday Night Football, Bears-Packers on September 6th or whatever it is, they're not going to lead with, like, will Rashawn Gary get some snaps? No, I'm going to lead with, like, it's the first game of the Matt LaFleur, Aaron Rodgers era. Here we go. Like, of course, that's storyline A. But I don't think we're going to find any of those answers out in training camp or preseason. That's going to be a September-October feeling out process. So from a training camp perspective, I'm really curious to see how Pettin uses these pieces. Is Darnell Savage an instant day one starter? How does that work in that secondary? Do you start to see flashes from Alexander becoming that next stud NFL in a corner? So for me, I'm really looking, I think mostly, of course, there's tons of things to watch in training camp, but my big one is Pettin taking all these new puzzle pieces, all these new toys, and seeing how he uses them.
Final thought, Paul, or rather question, league-wide here. We've seen Mark Murphy's comments supporting a 17-game regular season schedule, primarily as a way to help grow the game internationally. We know the rest of the owners are still pushing for this whole 18-game slate. I think like a lot of fans, I'm frankly sick and tired of talking about it, but do we ever get to a point where this regular season is actually expanded, be it by one game or two?
Yes, I think there's too much momentum towards that. I think if I would have answered that question, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, I would have said unlikely. I mean, as crazy as it is to say, I feel like it's been in the past decade that player safety has really finally come under a microscope, which is, you know, sad to say, and you see the result of that from these retired players, but it's been in the last 10 years where it's come under a microscope. So when that stuff was first, you know, CTE and all of these studies and, you know, that Will Smith movie that kind of put it to sort of a public stage, whether completely factual or not, that, you know, there was just a lot of negativity around it, and that obviously playing more games is going to equal more injuries and concussions and everything else. But the fact that it hasn't lost steam in the last 5 years, and the fact that you do have sort of like these varied proposals, like you just use that 17th game to play internationally or, you know, to play in different fan bases, neutral field type games, the fact that it's not going away tells me that there's just too much momentum for it to ever stop. And I think the fact that owners have started to seemingly concede 4 preseason games and kind of getting that down to 2, you know, that would obviously be part of the negotiation with the players union. So, yeah, I think, man, I'd be surprised if in the next 5 to 10 years it's still a 16-game regular season. Again, 5 years ago I would have given you a different answer. Now I think there's too much momentum for it to not increase, whether to 17 or 18. That would be my prediction today, at least.
Paul, always enjoy the conversation, my man. Appreciate the time, and I, like you, will be waiting with bated breath for another season of Better Call Saul. Let's hope.
Yeah, countdown clock. I'd like to like to find out when. But, yeah, man, we'll talk soon, Mark. See you, buddy.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Take care. He's Paul Emege. He joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. They work hard. You work hard. They treat you fair for 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.